The following commentary does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff and management of WBCA or the Boston Neighborhood Network. If you would like to express another opinion, you can address your comments to Boston Neighborhood Network, 3025 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02119. To arrange a time for your own commentary, you can call WBCA at 617-708-3215 or email radio at bnnmedia.org.
Good evening, Boston. I'm your host, Larry Higginbottom, and you're listening to WBCA 102.9 FM. Again, WBCA 102.9 FM here in Boston. Name of our program is From the Trenches, baby. Observation from the Trenches. Observation from the Trenches. But speak about things that I'm seeing out here in the community. Things that we need to really, I believe, think differently about or take a different approach. Although I speak mainly to my community that I'm a member of, American Blacks or ADOS as I identify as American descendants of slavery, come out of that institution. Although I am of African ancestry, I'm not an African. I've been there several times, had a great experience. We'll go back there. But I am an American. That's why I say with reverence and respect for the term ADOS, American descendant of slavery, come out of the institution. And I've come to really thank those who persevered and survived that vile experience that my ancestors went through and my elders went through here in America. And so I speak about things as a observant person out of the community, because we do mental health in folks' homes, as you know, home base. Get to see how folks are faring, how they're doing. Get to see how policy made on how it affects folks in the trenches. And these policies have not done much for the group. As King, he fought for collective uplift, not for a few doing okay, but how well is the group doing? So today what I want to talk about is this here, politics. Having black faces in office has not helped ADOS very much. We need to think about why. Having black faces in office has not helped the ADOS community very much at all. And though, as a member of the baby boomers, we have been thoroughly indoctrinated that we had to vote, we had to be at the table, we had to participate in this thing called democracy. There's one man, one person, one vote. And I come as God has given me insight and wisdom to see that it was the wrong vehicle to address our legitimate grievance against the federal government for this vile treatment that it allowed us to be subjected to as a community. Being the reason being why our black elected officials are being inept or neutralized or nullified, because with this one person, one vote, no matter what policy they bring to the fore, it ain't gonna fly. Case in point, Congressperson Conyers of Michigan out of Detroit before he passed away, he brought to the floor every year there in D.C. for the Democratic portion of reps just to consider reparation, just to study reparation, the effects of it. Every year, it never got out of committee. Because in democracy, one person, one vote, if you can't convince your colleagues to co-sign your ordinance or your legislation, it goes nowhere. And what I think that a lot of us have really failed to understand and really don't appreciate is the relationship that it's built on. Why a lot of things that would benefit us is automatically shut down or shot down. Think about the relationship for ADOS community here in America. It's built on 247 years of chattel slavery. Understand it now. Chattel slavery. The worst treatment any group has ever been subjected to. Had zero rights. Anything and everything could be done to you, and it was. And sanction and condone because you were in And you were devalued. You were not valued as a human being. You was just here for property and to please and please those who owned you. And the institution of white supremacy, right, made sure that it indoctrinated the white populace, right, to treat you any way and any way it could with impunity. You were not seen with respect or value or appreciation. It's somewhat ironic that this binary system that they created based on color, white, black, so we got it from them, white, black, was there to denote that we were of no value. We had nothing significant. And what I think that many of our people in America, especially Adults in our community, we have failed to realize there's a relationship here. It's built on 24-7 years of chattel slavery, fought about so-called emancipation, all right, where I'm going to emancipate you, but what do you do with folks you don't want? You have no appreciation for them, no value for them. And you're supposed to now see them as citizens that's equal in stature as you? Well, that's a tough pill for the community to swallow. To put you on my level after 24-7 years having no regard for you at all, how well is that going to fly? Not well at all. So you had a war over us. So for the next 100-plus years, we have been fighting to be treated as citizens of this country. And so the only time that voting worked was during, right, Reconstruction, when the white majority sided with our elders and voted in the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. And during the 1877 Compromise, right, where they pulled the Southern truth from the South, they threw our community, Adults, to the wolves to fend for ourselves with no weapons and no way to take care of ourselves. Because there was never any respect or reverence for us anyway. And so now, we were taught and indoctrinated by our own that we had to get in that political process to gain power and influence. But the numbers never worked, then nor now. Because today, according to the last census, 75% of people, right, registered as white, 19% as Spanish, 13% as black, 6% as Asian. Numbers don't work. In America, these are stats that I'm reading. You can find these on any platform. Find out these numbers yourself. 89% of all elected officials are white office holders. So what is the likelihood that you're going to get a bill through city, state, or federal government that's going to benefit the Adults community that's based on research and data? What's the likelihood you're going to succeed doing that? It's unlikely. It's going to pass. And so my thing is, as a baby boomer, as I step down and we pass the baton to the next generation, Gen X, Gen Z, the millennial, and also those who are waiting in the wing, I say it's time to rethink this whole thing about politics. You can vote all you want to. And we can also say this notion of building coalition has been a farce as well. And the reason why it's a farce, I believe, other groups' relationship with the white community is not the same as ours. All these groups who come to America since the 1965 Act of Immigration was passed, because of the civil rights struggle, all those groups come from areas of the world where the white man or the white community has what? Colonized or subjugated them. They're already colonized and subjugated. And many, due to independence, have been free of so-called white domination and ruled for 50 or 70 years before they come to America. So their relationship with the white community is not as contentious. It's not not filled with friction as American-born blacks or ADOS community members are. We've never had the luxury in this country as a member of the ADOS community to not be under the control and domination and influence of the white majority. These other groups, be they from Africa, be they from India, right? Be they from, you know, Arab countries, right? Be they from south of the border, Caribbean. These groups come having been colonized by the white man and also subjugated by the white man. So there's no friction there. And them having independence, right? Whiteness doesn't mean to them what it means to you and I. Racism doesn't mean to them that it means to you and I, because they've had centuries or decades, decades to detox from whiteness or white oversight or white exploitation to a certain degree. So when they come to America, they're not allies. They're just immigrants. They're immigrants who come into America for a better life, the financial reward. They're not coming here to fight the spirit of whiteness or white racism or white supremacy. They got no problem with that because that's not part of their worldview. That's not part of their mental makeup. So you're expecting people to be allies in the boat on your issues, but there's no connection. And so that's why I've come to believe and realize that we need to be telling our young people, our young ADOS members who are about to take our place, baby boomers, that politics is not the right vehicle to address our grievance, which is legitimate. And so although we might still elect folks, City Hall, State House, Washington, D.C., they can't do nothing for us. They can't do anything for us but give the appearance that America is a diverse, inclusive society, because the numbers doesn't work. Don't work. And that's why I say the only saving grace I can see for the ADOS community, especially the Gen X, Gen Zs, and millennia, is labor. Labor is still needed in all the production processes based in capitalism. You need labor. So if you possess essential high-income skills, you will do well in the country. Because one of the things that you don't have to contend with, young people, that my group did and my grandma and my mother's group did, she was born in 1930, was the blatant hatred. Meaning that my mother's group knew and my group knew up until a certain time ago, no matter what they did, no matter how competent they was, how skilled they were not getting in, period. Because the hate and disdain was as prevalent as breathing. Well, because Dr. King came out of the pulpit and challenged whiteness and challenged white supremacy, well, you don't really have that problem. The contempt and disdain might be there. The hate might be there to some degree because laws might change behavior to some degree. It does not change the heart or one's true conviction. You don't have that blatant, sanctified, affirmed hatred that our people had who was born in 1930, 1940, 1950, even 1960. So for you, young people, talking to my group now, for you, if you understand the importance of skills and how capitalism, when the key component is labor, you do well. So while we should fight for reparation, I'm all for that now, but I want to be comfortable. I want you two to be comfortable while you're fighting for it. Because it's going to take some time. Because the numbers are not there. And so that's why I come to say to the next generation who's about to take our place, who's about to take us baby boomers out the way, as we got the way, that having black faces in office has not helped ADOS at all. It's done nothing to elevate the group. They can't bring home the bacon to help us. And in fact, when they mention our name, anything that has to do with black Americans, If they don't include the brown community, lesbian community, this community, other at-risk group, they can't mention nothing that'll benefit us alone. And although our grievance has never been atoned for or made whole. So these black politicians that we have down here at City Hall, State House, or the federal government, they already know. They know they can't do nothing. They know that. The numbers ain't there. So what I'm saying to young people, this ain't about gloom and doom or being negative or being a pessimist. It's about being open to our reality. If reparation was passed today, for ADOs only, give 50, 100 million, whatever number they might give you, it would not change the racial wealth gap, because the white community now is firmly developed. America is a developed nation now. It's not up and coming anymore. It's firmly, solidly developed. So it wouldn't change the racial wealth gap. It wouldn't change institutions they own and control. You have some money in your pocket. But again, your condition would be the same. Why? We don't own and control any institution that we own and control that we can hire our people or put folks to work whereby they can take care of themselves. So you still be in what I call a create mode. You got to go out and create businesses. That's why I say to young folks in my message, the city of Boston spends over $2 billion a year, $2 billion a year with outside contractors. General Massachusetts then spends over $4 billion a year outside contractors. I read a stat where the federal government spends over $500 billion outside contractors. Our group get less than 1% of those dollars. Less than 1% of those dollars. Every city and state in this country is contracted with outside contractors. A lot of work you see done, be it plumbing, roads, painting, you name it, consultant work, research, those are with outside contractors. Case in point, as they provide here in the state of Massachusetts, we have contracts with Medicaid and also with the state. So not only do I have a source of revenue for myself, but 40 other individuals that we are providing a source of income for. So you holler, well, we need our own. We need to do our own thing, control our own. That's good. That's good in theory. You're right about that in theory. You're right. But where revenue is going to come from? Revenue, where's it going to come from? So if you don't have these contracts and you just can't not operate in the larger society, it's too late for this here. Just to be black owned, just totally segregated. It's too late for that now. Too late for that now. We got to be able to swim and navigate and have access to those markets to be able to get those contracts. Whereby we can make sure we hire people, make sure that they have a livelihood. So right now, being an outside contractor with the state and Medicaid, when a young man come out of grad school as a therapist or clinician, well, if he like going in the home, working with family, I can provide him a source of what? Income, revenue. Where he can take care of his family, take care of himself, and do well. Why? Those contracts. So I will fight with you. I will protest with you for reparation, but I want to be comfortable. I want to be comfortable. And I want you to be comfortable also. And keep in mind, Dr. King died in poverty. Malcolm died in poverty. I don't want that for you or for me. So that's why I say today, having black faces in office has not helped ADOs very much at all. They can't bring home the bacon. And all those civil rights laws that King got passed have been totally nullified. The Supreme Court just recently said you can no longer use diversity for affirmative action. Gone. It struck down you couldn't use race in affirmative action in 1970, 72 somewhere around there. So the last pillar of affirmative action has been totally, totally knocked down. So we at square one, young people. You're square one. And the reason why those laws that was passed on behalf of the Negro, our elders, our group, the reason why they fail, because the word specificity, it did not specify who the laws was for and why. It did not specify because of slavery and Jim Crow. Slavery and 100 years of lynching. It did not specify. It just said, hey, for minorities, for women, etc. And why? Because we did not write the regs. So another thing, young people, talking to my group, ADOS, Gen X, Gen Z, the millennials, as you get out here and protest and agitate for change, understand that language matters. Language matters in America. You got to make sure that the word we write, that you write the regs for the redress. Otherwise, you have what you've had with these so-called affirmative action laws. Nothing. They benefit everybody but the group who got out there and paid with their blood, sweat, and tears. Because why? We didn't write the regs. And so again, I'm your host, Larry Higginbottom. You're listening to WBCA 102.9 FM. Can WBCA 102.9 FM name my program? From the Trenches, baby. Observation from the Trenches. From the Trenches. And I'm just speaking out. Having black faces in office has not helped ADOS much at all, I think. Having black faces in office has not helped ADOS much at all. Having these folks elected at mayors, governors has not done much. Matter of fact, let me read to you some black faces in high places. And I think you'll get my drift where they ain't done much for us. Had a black president, didn't do much for us. Have a VP Harris, she said point blank, if you think I'm gonna do anything for black folks only, you crazy. But they out there fighting for these immigrants. They out there doing everything for these immigrants. They doing everything for these immigrants. We have the ambassador to the UN, black lady. Once had Condoleezza Rice, Secretary of State, didn't do much for us. Had Colin Powell, Secretary of Defense, didn't do much for us. Had Colin Powell Jr., you know, chairman for the FCC, didn't do much for us. We now have the Speaker of the House on the Democrat side, Mr. Jeffries, ain't doing much for us. Mayor of New York, he one of us too. Mayor of Chicago, Atlanta. Even the governor of Maryland ain't doing much for us. They also say, you know something? You got to get into corporate America. You got to get CEO. We can be on these boards of directors. Ain't done much for us. Attorney General. We had one of those. Remember him, Holder? Eric Holder? Attorney General. Ain't did much for us. Top cop. Ain't done much for us. The White House press secretary, Ms. Pierre, ain't done much for us. We got congresspeople. We got, what, Congressional Black Caucus, about, what, 55 of them down there? Ain't doing much for us. On the Senate side, we got about 3 of them down in the Senate. Ain't doing much for us. And last but not least, we even got folks there on the White Man Supreme Court Justice. Ain't done much for us. So I'm here to say to the young folks who about to take our places, as we baby boomers get out the way, and those born in 1930 and 1920, they're still here, getting out your way, that having black faces in high places or having black faces in office has not done nothing to help the ADOS community. And the reason being, numbers don't work. And the foundation of the relationship is built on 24-7 years of chattel slavery, 100 years of Jim Crow, apartheid. So out of our 405-year history being here, from 1619 to now, it's 405 years. So out of that, 347 years is the worst treatment man that ever subjected another human being to. So you cannot have oppression, all right, without the consensus of the masses. Why, Larry? You need them to do the dirty work. I'll say again. You cannot have oppression, right, and exploitation of any kind without having a consensus of the masses. So the mass of white people have got to be indoctrinated. Are there good white folks? Yes, there's always been good white people. I work with good white folks every day. I'm sure during 24-7 years of chattel slavery, there was some white who was totally perturbed and disturbed by that treatment. Couldn't do nothing about it. I'm sure during the civil rights movement, there was some whites who was totally, you know, perturbed by it. Couldn't do nothing about it. During apartheid, Jim Crow, 100 years of that, I'm sure some whites was opposed to it. Couldn't do nothing about it. They could do nothing to stop, right, the entrenchment of white supremacy. Nothing. Nothing at all. It might make you feel good to say, well, I got some white allies or Asian allies or whatever. Okay. You might call them progressive or liberal, whatever. They can't do nothing to change this reality. This is a white supremacist society. And it was taken to benefit white men, white women, and white children. It's their time to rule the world. That being the reality, how do I, as a member of this here colonized and subjected community, how do I thrive and prosper in it? I have to be skilled. I need to be skilled while I am fighting for a new deal. Otherwise, you're going to struggle. If you've been noticing in the last 30, 40 years, all this illegal immigration around here, right, you are no longer needed for entry-level or cheap labor, family. You're not needed for that. So if you're not teaching your children the importance of being skilled, having essential skills, in my humble opinion, you've been derelict in your duty. And if all you are banking on is politics, electing black officials in the office, you really have been bamboozled. Numbers don't work, baby. And it's not being gloom and doom. It's not in being negative or pessimist. You know, I meant to look at life the way it is. Looking at things how they are. And the only redress or the only saving grace I can see, young people, do you have essential high-income skills? If you do, you'll be able to do well for yourself. Get contracts, create your own entity where you can hire other blacks or other people like yourself, but you only control that. Our country is based on who owns and who controls it. That's why I say if reparations pass today, where it was determined each member of the ALIS community will get $1 million today, right? America's fully developed, baby. They own all the institutions, all the wealth. Institution that undergird white supremacy is seen through their sense of right and wrong. They set the policy, the regs, and they own all the guns. Come on now. So being that reality, being that realism, how must you prosper? How can you prosper? You got to be skilled. Because unlike in our parents' day, my parents' day, I was born in 53. My mom's born in 1930. In her day, they knew no matter if they were skilled, ignorant, or whatever, they couldn't get in. Couldn't get in. Cross the blood. Couldn't get in. Didn't matter. But because they fought to change that, right? Not saying that it's in love for us, right? But you just can't be blatantly excluded anymore. So now, because they got out there and fought with King, right? If you're skilled, you're going to do okay. So this being just automatically locked out, it wasn't my parents' day, that's over. That's over. So the only redress you have, young people, if you're paying attention, is through your skills, through your labor. Do you possess essential high-income skills? If you do, you're going to do well here. And from there, you can start to build your own entity, build your own practice, build your company. I would not recommend going to corporate America, into corporate America to stay. Go in there, just get your feet wet, and start your own. That's why DEI was a dumb idea from the get-go. We stand for diversity, equity, and inclusion. Who house is that? That's their house. That is the white community's house. That's their house. So having your black face up there, you don't own that. You don't control that. That's why They can always kick you out. So the thing that I think that the blessing you have, young people, the best blessing you have, you can look at what my group did, what King Group did, and say, okay, these things we're not doing anymore. I want to spend no more of my time on anything called social right, human rights. I would not put my time in it no more. I would put my time exclusively on acquiring skills and acquiring contracts where I can take care of myself and my family. That's what I would do. So anyway, I'm going to take a break. Be right back. Again, you listen to WBCA 102.9 FM in Boston. Name of the show, From the Trenches, Observation from the Trenches. From the Trenches, Observation. My little comment, my little dialogue today is real simple. Having black faces in office has not helped ADOs very much at all in the last 60 years. Not at all. It's done nothing to elevate the group. So I'll be back in a minute, you know, to continue with my thoughts.
The revolution wasn't televised in the 60s. Is it going to be televised in the 90s?
Well, you know, the catchphrase, what that was all about, the revolution will not be televised, that was about the fact that the first change that takes place is in your mind. You have to change your mind before you change the way you live and the way you move. So when we said that the revolution will not be televised, we were saying that, like, that the thing that's going to change people is something that no one will ever be able to capture on film. It'll just be something that you see, and all of a sudden you realize, I'm on the wrong page, or I'm on the right page, but I'm on the wrong note. And I've got to get in sync with everyone else to understand what's happening in this country. Uh-huh. But I think that the black Americans have been the only real diehard Americans here, because we're the only ones who carried the process through the process, that everyone else has sort of like skipped stages. We're the ones who marched, we're the ones who carried the Bible, we're the ones who carried the flag, we're the ones who tried to go through the courts. And being born American didn't seem to matter, because we were born Americans, but we still had to fight for what we were looking for. And we still had to go through those channels and those processes.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Again! Here's that song again!
For the 100th time today!
Here's that song again!
It's gonna be stuck in your head all day!
Yay! Here's that song again!
It will make you cray-cray!
You love your kids enough to watch that TV show a bajillion times. Yay! Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat for their age and size. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies. Because when people don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, they can truly thrive. Like Marta.
And now we'll hear from our class valedictorian, who with her hard work never ceases to amaze us. Please welcome Marta Moreno.
And Alex.
Hey, Alex, how did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
I knew it. Let's meet up later to celebrate.
And Diego.
Mom! I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. feedingamerica.org/act now. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
The revolution wasn't televised in the 60s. Is it going to be televised in the 90s?
Well, you know, the catchphrase, what that was all about, the revolution will not be televised, that was about the fact that the first change that takes place is in your mind. You have to change your mind before you change the way you live and the way you move. So when we said that the revolution will not be televised, we were saying that, like, that the thing that's going to change people is something that no one will ever be able to capture on film. It'll just be something that you see, and all of a sudden you realize, I'm on the wrong page, or I'm on the right page, but I'm on the wrong note. And I've got to get in sync with everyone else to understand what's happening in this country. Uh-huh. But I think that the black Americans have been the only real diehard Americans here, because we're the only ones who've carried the process through the process, that everyone else has sort of like skipped stages. We're the ones who marched, we're the ones who carried the Bible, we're the ones who carried the flag, we're the ones who tried to go through the courts. And being born American didn't seem to matter, because we were born Americans, but we still had to fight for what we were looking for. And we still had to go through those channels and those processes.
I'm back, Boston. Again, I'm your host, Larry Higginbottom. Listen to WBCA 102.9 FM. Again, WBCA 102.9 FM in Boston. Name of the program, From the Trenches, Baby. From the Trenches, Opera, Baby. From the Trenches, Opera, Baby. From the Trenches. Well, my dialogue today centers around politics. I'm just saying, but not the atmosphere. You may agree. You might agree with some, or all of it. I'm saying having black faces in office has not helped Adels at all in the last 70 years. Having black faces in office has not helped our community at all. We are just as wealthless now as we were in 1963 when Dr. King gave his famous speech there in Washington, D.C. We own no wealth. We control no institutions. We own no factories to hire our people. We have nothing, no source of revenue to put our folks to work, whereby we can build and acquire capital to create our own projects, our own complexes. And despite seeing our celebrities up there on TV, you know, making millions of dollars, and the scheme of wealth, that's no money. And to make matters worse, they don't control those platforms. They don't control none of those NBA teams, NFL teams. The platform to distribute the music, right, these are owned by Jewish American, white American, Asian American, maybe I guess one black here and there, but for the most part, they don't own those centers of distribution. They don't own that. And they are what I refer to, no disrespect to none of them, they are what I call high-income piece of properties. They are high-income piece of properties. And they can be replaced. As you saw with Kyrie Irving and the other rapper there. Forgot his name now. You know, they said something that the Jewish community didn't like. Shut them down. Oh, Kanye West. I'm sorry. You know? And what they said might have been legitimate. But because they didn't like it, and those platforms they did not own, they was reprimanded. And so, what I'm saying to you, baby boomers, it's time for us to get out the way. Let Gen X, Gen Zs come to the fore. And to be honest about politics. That having black faces in high office has not done much to help us. It really has not. Because the numbers don't work. Never have, never will be. Never have, won't work. And if you cannot convince your colleagues, be it the city hall, state house, or federal government, to co-sign your ordinance, it doesn't fly. Won't fly. And it doesn't. And so, yes, I am an advocate for reparation. It's a debt that's due, and it will be paid. It's going to take some time now. It might take 100 years. Doesn't matter. It has to be atoned for. But while we are fighting for restorative justice, you want to be comfortable in America. It's a great country. I would not dispute it. America's a great, 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 great country. If you possess sufficient wealth to be comfortable. If you don't, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. In the last 40, 50 years, all this invent of all these illegals running around here, Ados, we are not needed for entry-level or cheap labor. So if you don't have essential skills that are needed, you got problems. You got problems. And your kids going to have problems. So that's why I say, Having black faces in office has not helped us, not one iota. And in fact, any black politician, he or she now know to say anything that might benefit our community, he has to automatically tie in the brown people, Spanish people. Now keep in mind, these folks came here destituted. They came here in poverty. They came here broke. The federal government, our government, is not responsible for that. You don't owe them anything. We are wealthy because of centuries of slavery and black apartheid, where we was locked out of wealth when America was up. When America was up and coming, she wasn't fully developed then. We was here. We were here. And it was laws that, A, put us on the outside looking in. But any black politician, if he don't say the brown folk with us right, he just can't say for black American only. She just can't say that for us only. Even though our legitimate grievance has never been atoned for or made whole. Because they already know. The hate is entrenched in the psyche of whiteness. Because the foundation of our relationship is based on 247 years, right, of vile treatment towards our community. Anything that might remotely benefit us has always been met with contempt and disdain. So our black politicians know they can't say anything that might remotely benefit us, even when it's based on facts, research, and data. So the only recourse you have while we're fighting for a do-over and a better day, in order to be comfortable, you had better be skilled out here. You better be highly skilled out here. And I don't mean going to college. I don't mean that. There are many vocational and technical skills that if you have those skills, you're going to do darn well in America. And one of the best advantage you got, young folks, talking to my group, Gen X, Gen Z, the millennial, the best thing you got going, the blatant hatred that my parents' group had to deal with and my group to some degree, you don't face that. My parents knew. My group knew, too, before King got out there and started to fight back. It wasn't about being competent or qualified or needing a job. You wasn't getting in, period. No degree, many degrees, didn't matter. You were not getting in. Because our community, our elders, got and fought that spirit of whiteness. You don't have that burden to push anymore. That's not your burden anymore. Your burden is to understand the relationship is built on contempt, hate, and disdain. Laws might change behavior, but laws don't change the heart and one's true conviction as it pertains to us. But they know enough now, you got to let them in. If the skills are there, they got to let you in. That's the advantage you got, Ados, youth, Gen X, Gen Z's, Eminem. That's the advantage you have, that you can come there and do very well, despite many might not hold you in high regard, but they got to let you in. Because our elders fought that vile spirit of whiteness, that this unchecked violence, this unchecked lynching, mayhem. Well, young people, you don't have to carry that cross no more to be able to do well in your country. That's why I say, You got a good advantage. Why? You now know what not to do. I would not put my time in nothing on civil rights, human rights, voting rights, racism. I ain't fighting them fights no more. Lincoln signed the Emancipation in 1863. Been over 160 some odd years. We've been fighting it. Put that cross down. Let the white community, along with all immigrants of color, let them fight that. Let them fight racism. Let them fight voting rights, human rights. Let them fight that. As a matter of fact, I said let the white community, take a lead on it. Because why? That binary system of black-white, they created that for their own benefit, to ostracize and demonize us. So let them eradicate that. I wouldn't spend no more of my time going no march on racism, sexism, you know, human rights? No, I ain't doing that. We have given our fair share to market. We're giving our fair share at the job. Put that cross down. But I will march at you for city contracts, state contracts, private contracts, federal contracts, essential high-income skills. I will march at you for that. That I'll march at you on. This other stuff, social, we've given it to office. That's the best advice I can give to my group who's about to replace the baby boomer. I wouldn't put no more of my time into those social agendas. Everything that I be putting in, right, it's about me owning the contract where I control my destiny, control the platform that I'm deriving my income off of. That's where my time going. You got to get some of these contracts with the city, the state, the federal government. City of Boston spends $2 billion a year. Massachusetts spends $4 billion. Federal government will $500 billion a year. In all these states, most folks here have private contracts. Even with private companies got contracts with private companies, but we ain't there. We used to be talking about voting rights, civil rights. You name me, how many civil rights activists? How many factories do they have? How many folks can they put to work? How many folks have they been able to elevate into the middle class and keep them there? How many? But he's a civil rights activist. And it's benefited everybody but the group it was intended to. And so I'm saying to you, Gen X, Gen Z, and millennials, having black faces in office has not helped Ados at all. It's given a false illusion that America's changed. See, we got you sitting there. But they already know. They ain't got no juice. They know that. They can't bring none to the floor that's going to pass, that's going to help their community. Why? Numbers don't work. They already know that. So they sit there, they look good. And once reality sits in, right, they understand their job is just what? It's an ornament, you know, show and tell. To be a display. See, we got some blackness here. People of color. Minorities. Come on now. It's 2024. And yes, there will always be good white people. There have always been good white people. Always, always, always. To no avail. It might make you feel good to say, these are my white progressive allies, whoopee-doo. They cannot change the foundation of white supremacy. It is firmly entrenched in the psychology of whiteness. It's here. It's a white man's term, with white man's time, to rule the world. For the most part, everywhere you go, you see where the white man has colonized and subjugated the world. Except for Europe. You know, everywhere you go. Most of the world is what? Colonized and subjugated. So when they come to America, these folks are not coming here to fight whiteness or white racism. They've been colonized and subjugated. They're coming here for financial. To create a great life for them and their family by what? Being highly skilled. To extract top dollar for their labor. They're not coming here to fight racism. They might have to face it every now and then, but that's not their problem. That's your problem. That's our legacy. That's why Gil Scott-Heron said in the interview, we talked about, you know, that ever since we've been here, being born black didn't seem to matter. In the interview he got defining the song, Revolution Will Not Be Televised, he tell you what he meant by it. He said, The first revolution starts in your mind. In your mind. And it is to accept America for how she is. She's a great country. No doubt, she's a great country. But she ain't never been great for us. And what we get, you got to take. By demanding to be included. By getting those skills and demanding to be included, you'll do well here. Otherwise, you're no longer needed for cheap labor or entry level labor. You don't need it. They don't need it at all. And the reason why they want the mother groups, There's no grievance with them. With us, there's a grievance. There's friction in our relationship because of the foundations built on what? 20, 47 years of chattel slavery, of hate and contempt, followed by 100 years of what? Apartheid. Come on now. So again, I'm just saying, and you can come to your own conclusion, that having black faces in office has not helped Ados at all. It's not helped American blacks. They can't bring policies that's going to help us because the numbers are not there. If they can't include all these brown folks who came here destitute, who came here impoverished, ain't nothing flying. Anybody can get a policy up the ground but us. And black politicians know that. They're nice people, but they've been totally usurped and castrated. Come to your own conclusion. Well, until next week, I'll be back again with some more observation from the trenches. Again, I'm not here to insult or degrade anybody, but it says time to realize and look at where we are, but realize and knowing that you can do better as long as you understand you got to be skilled. And if you're highly skilled in America, you're going to do just well. I'm living proof of that. But I had to go back and upgrade my skills, and so will you. There's no getting around that. No getting around it at all. And I'm not into being a pessimist, gloom and doom. I'm into looking at life the way it is. I accept America for how she is. I'm not trying to change her. I'm not trying to change her, and neither should you. She is what she is, as it pertains to us. And the only way that you can be included is through your skill set. If your skills are essential, you're going to do darn well in America. That's why I'm supposed to come in here, to upgrade their skills and to get paid. So you should do the same thing by getting them contracts. You can take care of yourself, have a source of revenue for our people, accumulate capital, develop your own complexes, your own projects. And if you do, they'll come. Everybody come now. But you control and own that. You control and you own that. And there's a major difference. But get off of the social agenda. We've gotten all we're going to get out of civil rights. Get off that horse. We've gotten all we're going to get in America from civil rights. That horse has been totally shot dead. It's my belief. You can come to your own conclusion. But from where I'm looking, the fat lady done sang, baby, is over. So now it's time for you to take the lesson learned and move into a new arena. And that arena has to be skills and getting contracts to hire people. And so that's one thing that I would tell Dr. King. Dr. King, these folks ain't going to hire us, given the history and the relationship. They're going to hire us. How likely is that, Dr. King? Not likely. Given the relationship is built on contempt and hate from 247 years of chattel slavery. They're going to hire us. But I'm telling you, as an elder who's about to get out your way and let you come to the mic, skills are imperative. Being highly skilled is needed. And it'll make a better day. So again, I'm your host, Larry Higginbottom. You can listen to WBCA 102.9 FM. Can WBCA 102.9 FM. In my program from the trenches, Observation from the Trenches, I've been talking today about having black faces in office has not helped Ados at all. Never have, never will. That's my belief, because the numbers don't work. They never did. But again, until next Wednesday at 6 o'clock, I'll be back to share some more thoughts with you about what you should do out here. Because America's a great country now. She's a great country. She's a great, great, great country. You get no pushback from me on that. But you wicked, 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 wicked. But for us Ados, you got to be skilled. And if you are skilled in America, you would do very well. Till next Wednesday, God bless you, and we'll talk.
The preceding commentary does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff and management of WBCA or the Boston Neighborhood Network. If you would like to express another opinion, you can address your comments to Boston Neighborhood Network, 3025 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02119. To arrange a time for your own commentary, you can call WBCA at 617-708-3215 or email radio@bnnmedia.org.